I'm not just thanking the Lord for what he's done for First Lady and myself, but there are people that are in this church, that are members in this church, that come to this church that God has done a mighty thing for them lately. I'm just going to go ahead and say that, you know, there's a brother that comes to this church. He was in the hospital. They had called the family in a couple of times. They had already put him on his deathbed, the doctors. But there's a great physician that has the final say. He's the one that pulls the plug. Hallelujah. And he said, no, it's not time yet. Amen. There's another brother found himself caught out, way out of state somewhere. And they gave him all kind of tests for flu and COVID and this and that. But praise be the Lord, they found nothing. And he's back. There's another sister. When she tries to praise the Lord and she does what she can, the enemy always attacks her breathing. And she's in the hospital and she's out. She's in the hospital and she's out. But you see, God always finds a way to get her there in time. Amen? And I just want to say to you this morning that he's an on-time God. Amen? No matter what you think, he's an all-time, on-time God. Amen? And when we look at the scripture that we'll read this morning, it will make you realize, if you don't know, I pray that by the time the message is over that you'll know that he's an on-time God. Amen? So the title of the message this morning is, Who Will Roll the Stone Away? Can you say that? Who will roll the stone away? So the scripture this morning is taken from Mark, the 15th chapter, verses 46 and 47, and then the 16th chapter, verses 1 to 4. It says, So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salomon brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Because of the coming Sabbath, they were unable to properly prepare the body of Jesus for burial. There had not been enough time to render a proper service for him. So in hurried preparation, Jesus' body was put into a borrowed tomb. The tomb was sealed shut with a circular flat stone that rolled down a sloping groove until it was securely in front of the entrance to keep out intruders. To roll that stone back up again would require the strength of several men. To the onlookers that were looking at this burial, the stone that was rolled into the place, it signified for them the end of Jesus' life and the end of his ministry. The stone rolled in place was a symbol of the end of their hopes and the end of their dreams for a new life. The stone that was sealed was an obstacle. Now, I will say that this tomb was borrowed from Joseph of Arimathea. Amen. It was a very expensive tomb, and he gave it up for Christ. Little did he know that Christ only needed the tomb for a couple of days. Amen. But the Sabbath intervened, and the woman that wanted to anoint his body had not had an opportunity to do so. So when the Sabbath was over, just as soon as it was over, the earliest the woman could go, they were on their way to embalm the body of Jesus on that Sunday morning. And it wasn't quite light, but it wasn't quite dark. So as they were on their way, the light was starting to shine. Amen? Mark puts it this way. He says, it was very early, and the sun now being risen. John, the book of John, tells us that it was still very dark. But Mary and Salomone, these women proved themselves to be devoted followers of Jesus. And they wanted to be the first there to make sure that they would do what they had intended to do. Now, we know in the dark, it probably would have been very easy for these women to say, I'm not going, it's too dark. I'm not going, it's too early. Have you ever been in a situation you want to go somewhere and somebody say, no, it's too dark to go? Or somebody else will say, no, it's too early in the morning for me. I got to wait a couple of hours. But these women were on one accord, and they were on their way, and they began their journey to take care of the body of Jesus. Even though they were on their way, they had to be thinking in their minds of everything that occurred the few days before. Their hopes, their dreams had been destroyed. I'm sure as they were on their way there, they wasn't singing hallelujah. I'm sure that as they were going there, they wasn't just jumping around for joy. They were whispering, maybe singing some quiet hymns. They were grieving. They were devastated. They had seen their beloved rabbi, their beloved teacher, stripped of all his clothes. They had seen him hung on a cross. They seen every shred of human dignity taken away from this man. Their future expectations, what they thought would happen, it was lost on the cross. It was buried in that tomb. They saw all of the pain and suffering that his body could take. But they still wanted to do the right thing for the body of Jesus. Amen. Isn't that something? Even though their hopes and their dreams and their frustration and everything was in within them, they still had the fortitude to want to move on, to move forward. This was a special act of love, dedication, and devotion. And I say a special act of love, dedication, and devotion because none of the disciples wanted to be the first to the tomb. There was nobody there that had followed Jesus those 3 years that beat them there. I don't hear tell of in the Bible where one of the disciples says, I want to be the first after the Sabbath is over to go see what's going on with the tomb. It was none of them. But these devoted women, hallelujah, these devoted women found it in their heart that we want to make sure that we take care of Jesus. Their faith was consistent with the love that they had for Christ. But they were only worried about one thing. They wasn't worried about who was going to talk about them going early to go to the tomb. They wasn't worried about somebody talking about them using expensive spices on the body of a dead man. They wasn't worried about that. They were only worried about one thing. Who was going to move the stone? Amen? The tomb, it had no doors. Amen? There was no other way to get inside of it except that stone be rolled away. But the Bible says, and it's important that we realize that the Bible says that they set out in the early part of the morning going towards the tomb. So they had their minds already made up. Sometimes we got to have our minds already made up that we're going to go on. Their minds were already made up. And as there, that was in scripture number one. But in scripture number four, they wanted to know now that they're on their way, who's going to move the stone? Sometimes when God moves you to do something, you got to get your mind made up to do it and worry about the other stuff later on. They were walking, and as they were walking, they were probably talking and saying, okay, you got the frankincense, you got the myrrh, you got the perfume, you got the wrap that we're going to wrap them in, and everybody was, they were advocating, they were telling, they were verifying everything that they needed. But then when they were on their way, the Bible says together they were thinking, who's going to move the stone? We can't move the stone. We need somebody to move the stone. They probably put their head down and they was thinking, who's going to move the stone? But then the Bible says, but when they looked up, you see, sometimes we walk around with our head down. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that when they looked up, the stone was moved. The stone was gone. Amen. Who was going to move the stone? That was the only difficulty they had been aware of. Let me tell you, the Bible says that they knew nothing. It was more than moving the stone because the stone was sealed. Amen? So you had to get rid of the seal before you moved the stone. Not only that, the Bible says they had guards around it. So nobody could get inside of that tomb. They didn't know nothing about that. There are times in our lives that God tells us to go and we're ignorant of everything that's in front of us. But God moves it out the way. If they knew that there were soldiers there, they wouldn't have went. If they knew that they had to move a seal more than just move the stone, they probably wouldn't have went. You see, our God, he's amazing because sometimes he hides the details from us. Sometimes it's too much for us to know everything. When he says go, just continue moving. Amen? They looked up. They had been looking down in conversation, but when they was near the stone, they looked up. Mark uses a word that says, they looked up, behold, the stone was moved. Amen? Luke uses a word, they found the stone was removed. Amen? Sometimes when we do things and we have that Holy Ghost zeal behind us, we don't see everything that's in front of us. We only see the prize that's ahead of us. Amen? God wants you to keep your eyes on the prize. Amen? He don't want you to look to the left. He don't want you to look to the right. He will take everything in between where you are and where he wants you to get to. Amen? Our God is not a logical God. All the logical problems, all the circumstance that we put in our own way get in the way of God doing what he wants you to do. We start thinking too much about how we're going to do something. But when God says, go, go. When God says, move, move. I'll make a way for you. I was thinking about this message and then something went in my head this morning. And I thought about the 23rd Psalms when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then it just slipped right to the part. It says, well, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I said, oh my God. I'm not running from death. I'm not looking to the left to see the shadow of death. Death is all around me. And the shadow is there. But I fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These women, despite all odds, despite anything that might be before them, they only kept their eyes on the prize with one question. Who was going to move the stone? Amen. Just like those women, just like the stone over the grave of Jesus, it was an obstacle to them. We have stones in our lives. Hallelujah. We have stones in our lives that prevents us from reaching out in our faith to Jesus like we should. And those stones that are in our lives, we can't move them by ourselves. Hallelujah. We might try to move them, but we can't move them by ourselves. And that's why they become an obstacle. But there is somebody that can move the stones in your life. Come on, somebody. People of God, we are confronted with stones and problems that are too big for us. Hallelujah. They're too big for us. And what these verses teach us is that we're going to get confronted with things, with stones, with seals, with people around them that we can't move, but our God can. Sometimes you're going to attempt to do service for the Lord. There's a stone in the way. Sometimes you're going to have to do something with somebody else. You're going to unite together to come to do something for the Lord. Something's going to get in the way. Sometimes we exaggerate the magnitude of the obstacles. We exaggerate the magnitude of the obstacle, the magnitude of the stone that's in the way. But there's nothing too big for our God. There's nothing too big for our God. May these women continue to impress us to continue to persevere in the course of our responsibility. Each and every one of us got responsibilities. But we must persevere in moving forth. Well, don't worry about the obstacle. Don't worry about the stone. There's a power bigger than that. The Creator is bigger than that. And no matter the size of it, he can remove it. Jesus Christ, his whole life and in his 3 years of ministry, every obstacle, every stone that came in the way, he moved it. It was moved out of his way. He showed us that if it's God's will, it will be done. If we persevere in our faithful obedience, we will be blessed beyond our utmost hopes. See, some of us hope to be blessed. And when you hope to be blessed, you have a certain criteria. You have a certain limit that you put on your hope and your blessings. But God will bless you beyond your hope and your dream, beyond what you can ever think. When you need to be relieved from fear, God will remove that stone in the way. When you attempt it with temptations, he'll make a way of escape. When you got a load on you, you'll be able to bear it. When you have your trials, he'll give you the strength that you need. When you have tribulations, he'll give you patience. And with the patience, he gives you experience. And with experience, he gives you hope. Because after you've gone through something, you know that you can go through it again. Hallelujah. We remember Joseph in Egypt. Perseverance, trusting in the Lord, all kind of obstacles in his way. Daniel in the den of lions. He got there because they placed all kind of obstacles in his way. The three Hebrew boys, Moses at the Red Sea, standing in front of the sea. The whole bunch of Israelites wondering, what is this man doing? This obstacle is in our way. We can't swim that far. We can't go that far. We're at a dead end. But God removed the stone. He parted the sea. Paul and Silas locked away in prison. They started singing and praising the Lord. The chains start falling off. Hallelujah. Some of us, no matter what it is that we're going through, we're going to have to cry out, who's going to move this stone away from me? God, move this stone away. Move the seal. Move the stone. This stone is blocking my view, Lord. This stone is causing me to stumble, Lord. This stone is blocking my path. It's making it a little difficult, Lord. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the God that we serve, every stone blocking your path shall be crushed. Every stone blocking your path is going to be crushed. Every stone in your way, you're going to step on it in the name of Jesus. Those stones are not going to dictate your life. Those stones are not going to be the end of you. It's going to be the beginning of you. Hallelujah. There's some people here today that are bothered by huge stones. Something that's not allowing you to make the progress that you are supposed to make. Some stones that are not letting you do specific things that you're supposed to be doing. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, after the example of these faithful women, the next time you check, you're going to discover that the stone has been removed. When it's removed, you won't know. But you just keep going forward. And when you get there and look up, the stone is gone. Behold, the stone is gone. Now, I want to tell you something else about that stone. They said when they got there, the stone was moved. Hallelujah. So what it means is that when Jesus left out of that tomb, he didn't squeeze out. It wasn't a little opening. He said that stone was moved away. He walked out of there. Whatever stone is in your life, you don't have to worry about squeezing through it. When God moves that stone is going to be moved. You're going to walk and you're going to be able to talk. You're going to be able to run, jump and shout. Hallelujah. What is the burden that you're carrying today? What is that problem like that huge stone that's weighing you down? Jesus can roll that stone away. If you only have faith, Jesus can roll that stone away. If you only believe, you heard the minister last week. If you only believe, Jesus can roll the stone away. No stone is too big for him to handle. No burden too high, no heavy for him to carry. He can roll them all away. There's a song that says, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by sight. Don't look at the stone. look up. And when you look again, the stone is going to be removed. Family problems, he can move the stone away. Problems between husbands and wife, he can move the stone away. Problems with your children, he can move the stones away. People hanging on drugs and alcohol and in bad company, he can move the stones away. Financial problems, he can roll the stones away. Sickness in the family, he can roll the stones away. If Jesus can do it, if it can be done, and all things are possible to those who believe. Hallelujah. It is through the power of the risen Christ. It is through the power of the resurrection. It is through the power of the blood that whatever stone is in your way, God can remove it. Go back to the song writer this morning. He said, I lift my hands. My heart is ready to receive the blessings. Oh, hallelujah. When you lift your hands and you open up yourself to receive the blessings of the Lord, then you will be blessed. The stones will be rolled away. Satan, he can't prevail. Satan already lost. Satan, he can't win it. He's already lost. Oh, we were talking in Bible study, can Satan make you do something? He can't make you do nothing. He can suggest to you. He can make it easy for you. He can make a little path and make it look like it's very inviting to you. But he can't make you do nothing. I got my mind stayed on Jesus. When you get your mind stayed on the Lord, when you start studying the scripture, when you start telling Satan where he needs to go back to the pits of hell where you came from. When you take his little demon and his little followers and you call out the name of Jesus, stones will be moved away, burdens will be lifted. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe it? I need somebody that believes that this morning. I need somebody to know that we got a miracle working God. I need somebody to know that as long as he's at the right hand of God, all things are possible. I need somebody to know that had not the Lord been on your side, where would you be this morning? I need somebody to know that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God don't change. Jesus don't change. We change. When Jesus rose from the grave, every stone, every foundation in this earth and under the earth is shook. Nothing can hold back Jesus. Nothing can hold back us. Nothing can hold back the Holy Spirit. Stop looking at things like, what can you do? What do you got to do? You ain't got to do nothing. You call on the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we don't do. We don't call on the name Jesus. We call on every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every doctor, every nurse, every medicine, every prescription. We got to call on the name of Jesus. He's a healer. He's a restorer. He's a redeemer. He make all things new. He don't go get a used body part. He takes it. He makes things new. What stones are in your life today? What are you looking at that looks too big? It looks too heavy. What is it that looks too thick that you need the help of others to do it? You don't need the help of others. You need the help of Jesus. He can make it all right. By the time the man help gets to you, it's going to be too late. Sometimes they don't even show up. Your best friends, you know, your cut buddies, the one you run with, the one you spend your money on. When you need them, they're not there. As a matter of fact, they're nowhere to be found. And when you find them, they got an excuse for you. And then they end it, but you know what I mean, don't you? But Jesus never has an excuse. He don't have an excuse. He will answer your questions. He will be there when you need him. He'll make a way when there's no way. I lift my hands. My heart is open to receive. Come on, somebody. To receive. Are you open to receive? You know, you can't give nothing to something that's closed, but you got to be open to receive. Are you open to receive this morning? Hallelujah. Whatever that stone is, he'll roll away that stone for you. Let us stand this morning.